Blog Talk Radio.
Check long enough. Jesus Christ. Like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what is going on here. All right, so let's get to it. This is going to be another part of my PSA, and I found that there's so many levels of this. I just can't believe it, honestly. I really can't. All right, so we're going to start with these early warning signs, and there's so much shit to cover. Now, this is going to take 3 or 4 episodes of covering this shit, but this is so important right now, so that's what we're going to do. We all know the news sucks. We'll get to the news soon enough. All right, one of the best ways to heal is to avoid this situation altogether. When we are fully healed from abuse, if the abuse never occurs, see, you never will fully heal from narcissistic abuse. It will carry with you forever. It may even ruin some relationships for you and scare you off from dating forever. Now, in truth, this may not be entirely possible, but recognizing the early warning signs of abuse can help us to stay away from toxic situations and avoid abuse before it happens or gets unmanageable. Too much too soon. Now, this is when a partner pushes for instant closeness and does not follow or allow, follow your boundaries or wishes and or allow a relationship to grow at a pace that is comfortable to you. Example here, the partner praises you constantly and puts you on a pedestal. They want to live together immediately. Partner wants to care for your children and discipline them early in a relationship instead of honoring your role as their parent. Initially, you may feel swept off your feet, yet this shows your partner's lack of respect for boundaries. So fucking true. The confusion here is they change expectations or guidelines, but keeping you guessing how to please them. Here's an example, saying they want you to work, but criticizing every job opening you apply for. Wanting to go out for dinner, but you spent all day preparing their favorite meal. Intrusive and controlling. When a partner consistently wants to know your whereabouts, who you were with, where you were going, and when you're coming home. An example here is constant phone calls. Showing up at a friend's home unexpectedly. Initially, this may make you feel missed and cared for, but actually, these are signs of suspicion and distrust. Not good at all. Isolation. Partner insists on spending all or the majority of your time together, cutting you off from friends and family, making fun of your interests and other activities. An example here is calling your friends derogatory names, less stupid, discouraging you from keeping in touch with family or friends, discouraging you from doing activities apart, not providing childcare. Initially, this may make you feel wanted and needed because of all the time and attention devoted to you. Actually, this cuts down your resources, family, friends, so when you need them, they may not be there for you. Do they respect your need to have space or have time alone? Good question. A lot of times, no. Possessiveness and jealousy. When a partner constantly accuses you of sexual interactions with anyone in your life, friends, teachers, bosses, counselors, etc., accuses you of flirting, monitors how you look and what you wear, an example here is they'll make a statement like, I want you to be all mine. I don't want anyone else looking at you. You look like a whore with that makeup on. Initially, jealousy may seem like a demonstration of a partner's love. Not if he's calling you a whore. No. But it actually demonstrates a partner's willingness to treat you like an object or a piece of property. Uses jealousy as an excuse to isolate. Or they're like, I want you to be safe and I want to know where you're going because it's not that I don't trust you. I don't trust anyone else. Like, you're so unable to even say no or something. All right. Prone to anger. Partner is easily angered, has rapid mood swings, unpredictable behavior. Anger gets out of proportion to the incident. An example here is a partner's anger is directed toward a pet, possessions, or objects. A partner may kick the dog, destroy something of yours, rage at you if you're 5 minutes late. It is important not to ignore what may seem like even small overreactions. It is not acceptable to someone to use aggression to get their point across, regardless of how angry they are or how they've dealt with their anger in the past. That also falls into bipolar disorder. Unknown past and respect for women. How has your partner treated previous girlfriends? Here's a clue. If he's saying they're all crazy and have tried to, like, do things to him to get revenge, he probably was a piece of shit to them. Does your partner use derogatory or disrespectful language about women in general? Bitches, whores, sluts. Does your partner have stereotypical beliefs about gender roles? Example, when your partner makes statements like, she's got my tits, or women are good for just one thing, just like Andrew, or pinching your body parts in a humiliating or uncomfortable way. Your partner is physically and or emotionally abusive to other women, their mother, ex-girlfriend, blames past partners for all problems. It is important to take the mystery out of your partner's past, like talking to your partner's former girlfriend. Be in touch with your feelings. How do you feel when your partner degrades women? By degrading women, your partner is also degrading you. Self-centered. The partner is always focused on their own wants and needs. They ignore your wishes. An example here is orders for both of you at restaurants, interrupts you when you are speaking, decides that you will go to a movie that you clearly don't want to see, tells you what you want without asking what you want. Yeah. Double standards. This one's always fun. Partner expects others and you to live by their standards, yet they don't seem to live by them. An example would be buys an expensive stereo but criticizes you for buying new shoes, calls you a slut for having slept with your partner, yet they have slept with many partners. Alcohol and drug use. While alcohol and drug use doesn't cause a person to be abusive, these problems often coexist. They're engaging in drug abuse and an unhealthy behavior. There is a strong tendency for them to also be involved in other unhealthy behaviors, such as abuse. Additionally, drugs and alcohol can decrease a person's inhibition about using violent behavior. Andrew tried to stab me when he was drunk over a fucking... Oh, yeah, Andrew could not have alcohol. Mm-mm. Yep, example, hides alcohol and drug use, makes excuses why they need to drink or why it's okay. They had a bad day, so they deserve to celebrate. How do you have a bad day, and how do you celebrate a bad day? Blames others. The partner doesn't accept responsibility for their actions. An example here is blaming the police for the DUI or domestic violence arrest. Says you provoked them into yelling and pushing. Like, when he puts his hand in my face or spits in my face, like that, Andrew used to spit in my face whenever I wouldn't do what he wanted or didn't like what he was doing. Yeah, and I was pregnant. He would take the only blanket during the winter and leave me with nothing. Yeah, I slapped him one time and then started crying because nobody was going to help me in that room. We were in that room. And I slapped him for spitting on me, and I knew that I was going to get it. Like, yeah, like he would spit in my face. So inappropriate sexual behavior or demand. Your partner pushes you into engage in behavior that is uncomfortable or painful. An example here is not allowed to use birth control. You only have sex when they want it. That's like serious, like a form of serious abuse. So, carrying on. Andrew is definitely a sex addict. He would go jack off as soon as I left out. So, when you get into a relationship with someone who's a narcissist, at some point, they're not going to be able to keep up the lie. They put you on a pedestal. They do the love bombing. They rush intimacy. you know, say, oh, I feel like you're my soulmate. They mirror what you give off to them. They are acting the, you know, emotions, but they lack empathy for the most part. Like, they're just pretending. They're arrogant and patronizing, but also charming. So when we get to the chronic lying, like, when you start catching them lying, it's like, what else have you lied about? If you could lie about this and then not feel bad about it. Now, since they view people as objects and feel completely justified in exploiting them, lying is an integral to impression management and mirroring. The lies enable narcissists to present false images of themselves to potential targets. Those targets lose the ability to make safe and appropriate decisions. They enter into the relationships unaware of the danger in store for them. Then once the targets are hooked, narcissists continue to use lies along with the sprinkling of truth in a multitude of ways to ensure that their targets keep playing. They lie through evasion and by withholding information. They lie as a form of gaslighting in order to increase their control over their targets by making them constantly question themselves. They often repeatedly tell the ultimate lie, that they love their targets and that they just lie for the fun, but they just lie for the fun of it. Like, they'll say something to you like, well, I told the girl at the store that I didn't really love you and I wouldn't call it love. Well, if he was just saying that to be cruel to you, cruelty is the point. He may not even have said it at all. But what did that give him? Like energy, some sort of empowering, you know, move for him to feel wanted, admired, and blah, 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 while making you feel like, you know, what the hell? So, absolutely, the guy would be more empty than you are. It's not you, it's him. So narcissists lie effortlessly and are very convincing. They experience pleasure from lying because they lack the normal range of human emotions. They are empty and bored. They lack empathy for others, and they do not feel shame or remorse. This emptiness also, it is surviving, enables them to lie with minimal effort. They can look people straight in the eye and lie quickly and guiltlessly. Even when confronted with probing questions and evidence of the previous deception, it is also easy for them to deny the lies, make up excuses, and project their own behavior onto others, which is, of course, a lie in itself. They also lie to make others feel sorry for them. They are exploiters. They also take advantage of the natural desire. Most people have to help and nurture their fellow human beings. They use deception and sometimes a smidgen of truth to create a plethora of fabricated ailments and problems. Common pity plays include fake illnesses and injury, along with crazy exes, car accidents, and theft, just to name a few. I feel like I have seen, just in that sentence, a whole lot of that shit. Pathological chronic lying, on the low end of the lying spectrum, they can be dishonest, cunning, sly, clever, and resourceful in creating lies. On the higher end of the pathological narcissist, the liar is deceptive, manipulative, deceitful, and unscrupulous. To get at the core of the victim's insecurities, they start by lying about themselves, then they move into lying about their exes, their jobs and accomplishments. They lie about their feelings for you to hook you into bonding quickly. In the end, they will lie about you and call you the crazy ex. Then expect them to lie about the lies often when often asked. How do I know if the narcissist is lying? The answer is if their lips are moving. If you share a birthday with Donald Trump, you're probably exactly like Donald Trump. So let's do the love bombing, because this is a very tricky time, especially for women who have come out of relationships or marriages that were treated like shit. Ultimately, when you meet a guy who is actually not terrible, you know, for the most part, and then all of a sudden, you know, at the end of it, when they take their mask off, it's just the same motherfucker. It's really not the woman's fault. We just don't realize that the love bombing is an actual red flag. So narcissist abuse, of course it does. Men and women are just like this. Now, narcissist abuse actually starts with the stage or red flag love bombing, as it is called. It's his way or their way, her way, of telling you how perfect you are and how they have never met anyone like you. You are perfect in every way. You like the same things. You believe in the same things. Your values are exactly the same as theirs. Could you have met your soulmate? If you envision a checklist, this is the first check of many, as he or she is really checking how gullible you are. But it seems so real. You're so smart. You're incredible. I love your vocabulary, stuff like that. They wine and dine you. They want to spend every moment with you, texting you more than you have ever had anyone text you. They are in an elevator and they miss you. They might buy small gifts to show you they were thinking of you. They will kiss better, love better, and they will deeply care about your past, your story, but only so they can hold it against you later. On social media, they friend you, they start liking everything, comment, and gush. You get overwhelmed. Sunshine and flowers of this perfect person. Your defense mechanism goes all crazy because, wow, this person is perfect. But what they are really doing is using this step to trick you, to analyze you, to learn everything they can about you. They are testing the waters, so to speak. They are learning what kind of family life you had. They have a great sense of how you were raised and if you actually have boundaries. And like an animal watching their prey, they are watching how you react, how you feel, how they can use you as a supply source. They are very excited at the prospect of you falling for their game. They will want to keep you hooked, so they will be testing exactly what they can get away with. How long can they set the bar? They are prepared to turn on the charm and love bomb you with texts and loves. Now, they will act like it's real until they hook you. Once they get hooked, it's going to be promises not kept, stories that don't make sense, a lot of inappropriate. We're going to do the narcissist mess because I feel like this is important. The mask. I think a narcissist falling in love with another narcissist would not work out. So anyway, narcissists are actors and they play different roles for different people. We call these roles masks. They try to keep the mask up so you don't see what they are really like. The expression you will hear often is that when the mask falls, you will see the real person, and it is not the same person. When a narcissist drops their mask in front of you, that screwed up and forgot what role they were playing with you. This could mean you saw an evil side to them that you never saw before. Don't be surprised if they dump you after the mask falls. To them, when the mask falls, the gig is up, and they start moving on, which is why they end up with girls and side chicks and girls in their DMs and shit and inconsistent about their whereabouts, start being late, not really being consistent. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is the multiple personas. I like to think of this in two ways, the inside voice and the outside face. Out to the friends, family, or workers, they appear a certain way, then morph themselves to be something completely different for the next target. I know this one all too well. Here's what to look for. A different personality when they are at home than when they are out with people. You might see the person you believe they are when out in public, but that is who you think you fell in love with. Sadly, it was an act for you, and it's an act for the people. It's performing a role. It's a performance. Now. No, this is abuse. This is not people not getting along. This is legitimate issues because of multiple personality problems. That's what I'm telling you. Stop interrupting. Just listen. Fake emotions. Characteristically, narcissists are not able to share reciprocal emotions, and therefore they express emotions that seem appropriate. They may mimic emotions in order to gain leverage in a situation. They are actors, and as easily as they turn on the charm, as they can turn on the tears. Using tears to manipulate the heart of the target victim, they gain trust, show sensitivity, and usually the tears they are declaring their victimhood. Narcissist tears are not genuine and should not be taken at face value. There is always a reason they turn on this pity manipulation. It's about control. And if you fall for it once, they add that to their tool belt of things that they can use against you. Do you remember any of these inappropriate emotions? Laughing or crying at strange times? Or not at all? An example would be, there may be an inordinate amount of sadness shown when an acquaintance dies, but when a closer loss is experienced, there's no emotion shown at all. Another example of inappropriate emotion would be laughing at a funeral. I would do this. I'm sorry. Or on other occasions where most people are grieving or sad. It's because I'm in my mind thinking of something funny. I was very angry with Jason when he made jokes at his daughter's funeral because she died at like 3 months old in crib death. And he was making jokes like, I got so mad, but it was his way of dealing with his daughter's death. It is as though the narcissist has an emotional detachment to events and experiences that the rest of us are emotionally invested in. With fires and floods that rage in area, normal people feel for victims. These events pull at our hearts as we watch footage of people being hauled off their roofs and in a flood, but the narcissist will seem indifferent and show little concern, unless it's fake. In addition, the narcissist may have erratic outbursts of anger that are disproportionate to an event. Narcissists tend to use pity to win a new supply and use the tears that they can turn on in a second as a red flag to watch out for. Supply is someone that will fulfill the narcissist's needs. So if you hang out with your significant other or whoever you're dating and you're around them and you're just so tired after you're around them for so long and you can't relax, it's because they are sucking everything out of you. And if you don't give it to them, they're going to call someone else. So in addition, the narcissist, the emotions are rarely reciprocal and almost never compassionate or empathetic. They do use their fake emotion mask to manipulate their victims and get their way. Inappropriate emotions is a red flag that can present itself upon a wide spectrum. Uses guilt and poise. Now, they play on your vulnerabilities, your fears, your compassion by using guilt and petty poise. They gain your trust by making believe they loved you. Their poise may include threats to end a relationship, ignoring you, giving you the cold shoulder, or some other form of punishment. Narcissists generally find it easy to guilt you into getting what they want because of your kind, empathetic, or eager-to-please nature. Some narcissists play the martyr. They will play the woe-is-me routine. They list all the sacrifices they have made for you. Some even muster up tears because they are so unappreciated. Don't be fooled by this manipulative behavior. They are trying to get you to excuse their bad behavior. And remember, when you're telling someone how they're treating you and you don't like it, they're mad at your reaction to their abuse. Has your narcissist ever used this pity ploy? If you loved me, you would. I worked so hard for this family, and you never. After all I have done for you. So let's go to the point after the love bombing and the rushing of intimacy and the mirroring and the friends, lover, hate, the actors and the masks, the inappropriate, the value. Okay. Having a feeling if something is off. Intuition. When your intuition is telling you, bitch, listen. Intuition is a deep knowing, a gut instinct, and a trusted source of information. When we learn to rely on it, this is one of the best valuable gifts we can develop, and we are all capable of tapping into it. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, multiple personas, thinks of this as the inside face and the outside face. They start out charming, so kind and giving. In time, as things settle down, they get moved off the high pedestal. As life gets back to normal, they lose interest and begin the devalue phase when they become another person. Most people will never see this evil side until they have decided you are no longer needed. Then the fangs come out and the attack. It comes in unimaginable ways. Often to the narcissist, they will go into a horrible rage and then the next day act like nothing happened. This is the confusing part for victims as they hold on to that crazy and start to blame themselves. The narcissist will deny anything that happened and even accuse them of being crazy. This push-pull behavior leads to trauma bonding in the victim. Now, when we're dealing with a narcissist, intuition doesn't disappear, but we may doubt it more. You'll end up questioning yourself. However, the more you use it, the more you will learn to trust it. It is part of your true nature. Look in their fucking text. If you feel like all of a sudden you need to do it, motherfucking do that shit. Look at their messages. If you have to do this to begin with, you don't need to be with them. Seriously. If you play close attention, eventually, you know, you'll be able to see it. Now, the crazy people in their past, oh, my exes used to try and get me, they broke into my house, blah, 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 did this. We don't know. Okay, now, reckless, impulsive behavior. Engaging in all matters of impulsive action, binging, shopping, gambling, drinking, reckless driving, unprotected sex. Narcissists tend to only take themselves into consideration. However, because they also tend to think they are above the law or above the consequences that result from their behavior, they often unintentionally put themselves and others in danger. If they are upset, they may drive incredibly reckless. Andrew's done that with me and the baby in the car. Or take some other sort of aggressive action. They often have unprotected sex. They seem to live on the edge. Deceptive behaviors. A narcissist is like an actor creating fake roles to con someone into believing they are someone they are not. This type of deception does not even faze a narcissist as something is you shouldn't do. When a victim finds out the narcissist has led multiple lives, they go into shock. The PTSD kicks in. The narcissist and their distorted sense of entitlement and lack of empathy to empathize how the victim is feeling by the shocking news are then compounded by the turn around blame the victim, attack and threaten. Play mind games. Smear the innocent victim. I hate the word victim. And use others to break down the victim. That's when they're like getting on social media. Oh, my ex was toxic, talking about them on social media to their friends and family. You know. For the narcissist, the compulsive acts constitute a part of a larger, grander picture. If a narcissist shops, it is in order to build up a unique collection. I shop and I'm building a unique collection, but I don't do hardly any of the shit. I am bipolar, though. So, but I'm definitely not this. I'm definitely not a narcissist because I give more than I take, and I don't feel like I'm, you know, deserving of certain things or higher, you know what I'm saying? I'm just a regular bitch trying to get a nut. Yeah. It is to prove the right a method that he has developed or to demonstrate his amazing mental or psychic powers. If he climbs mountains or races cars, it is to establish new records. I feel like you can do that too without being a narcissist. Exactly. Like, I'm all about cars. All right, so a pattern of instability. Narcissists present with a theme of instability that tends to run through their life. These patterns usually revolve around those closest to them. Children, parents, spouses, or exes, they will always present themselves as a victim of life and at the hands of other people. They also make their past seem more traumatic than what it actually was, so to gain sympathy from their victims. It is best if you notice this sort of theme or pattern to pay more attention, especially to the relationships and people who are closest to the narcissist. Now, they no accountability. They like, I'm not responsible for this. I can sleep at night. I didn't do anything wrong. They degrade and humiliate you in the next phase. Now, triangulation and control of vacations and parties. They must be the center of attention. They must control where you go, whom you see, and they don't like to cater to other people. Going on vacations with a narcissist is often controlled by what they want to do, with little to no consideration as what you or your family wants to do. Many victims are so used to controlling behaviors that they go on vacation and relax. They find themselves getting sick from the stress of not being able to do what makes them happy on vacation. Often they make a scene to ruin your vacation. Andrew would make a fucking scene going to a goddamn store. It's ridiculous. Or going walking, he would create a fight so he didn't have to. Yep. Parties. At parties, they also need to be at the center of attention. When it's someone else's party, they might pout or claim they don't want to go last minute. The narcissist is stirring up the pot, trying to get you mad, so you become hurt and fight back. his tactic gets victims all worked up, so your night gets ruined. The confusing part is that after all the fighting and complaining about not wanting to go to the event, the narcissist arrives with a big happy smile to charm the room, and you are left secretly seething while they pretend nothing ever happened. Triangulation. Now, this can occur in any relationship, but it's very common in a relationship with a narcissist. It may happen at home, at work, with friends, or within a family. The narcissist may pit you against any other person that they can get you to engage in their victim playing. Now, they'll recruit friends, colleagues, family members, the authorities, institutions, or neighbors to do their bidding. They use others to coerce, threaten, stalk, or offer retreat, tempt, convince, harass, communicate, and otherwise manipulate the target. By clever seduction, those through words and posturing, the narcissist entices their pawns to do the dirty work for them. Unaware and being persuaded by the narcissist's rendition of truth, they take up the cause and align themselves against the one the narcissist controls. The narcissist creates perpetual triangles around the one they desire to control. They perpetuate constant torment for their victims. They claim that they are being tormented by their victim. They create rescuers who then torment the victim, thinking they are protecting the narcissist from the bully. The best thing to do is to not respond. The best response is no response. And the more that you don't respond, the crazier it's going to get. Depending on, well, they'll continue to try and change an email, Facebook, what have you, numbers, all that crazy shit, showing up at your house late at night, driving around, following you around. Yeah, they do that even after they have devalued you and left you and you stopped caring. Has someone said something to you that stopped you in your tracks and made you question your own sanity? Did it make you doubt your own memories and your perception of reality? Chances are you have been the victim of gaslighting. I hate the word victim. Basically, they lied to you, accusing you of doing something that you know you didn't do. Gaslighting is a form of psychological emotional abuse where the abuser manipulates situations repeatedly to trick the victim into doubting his or her own memory, perception, and sanity. That's happened to me several times. Gaslighting is a form of mind control, leaving victims afraid to trust their own experience and memories of a situation. Boy, oh boy, has this happened to me. I can feel the soap. There's an old 1940s movie called Gaslighting. You can find it on Netflix and Amazon Prime. It's an old creepy music, or it has old creepy music, but the idea is that the husband hides things and then accuses the wife of doing losing them. Yeah, and then she knows she didn't touch them, but then she looks, and they are gone. Other things they might do is argue that you said something you didn't say or that you know you didn't do. They are relentless, and you start getting confused. Now, what to look for? Do you feel confused or belittled? Is your intuition telling you something is off? You might start to have trouble making decisions or distress yourself. Do you feel like you lost yourself or don't know the person you used to be? Well, that's because gaslighting doesn't usually start like most of their devaluing and discarding behaviors. Gaslighting starts slowly. I often use the story of a frog that gets dropped in boiling water. He knows he's being boiled, but the frog that starts in cool water and then the temperature slowly turned up never knows he's being boiled. The start with a little lie mixed with a spoonful of truth because it's more believable that way, and it will confuse the victim. Remember, the spoonful of sugar will make the medicine go down. They continue to repeat the lie, brainwashing the victim slowly like the frog. If you dare question the truth, it gets thrown back at you and you're accused of having bad memory. You are told that you always forget. Be careful with this one. In Gaslighting, the movie, the husband then showed genuine concern for her, which confused her even more. Common things you might hear. You thought that was the last time and you were wrong. Don't you remember? Where did you get an idea like that? Quit bitching. I am not listening to that crap tonight. You're making that up. I don't remember that at all. Heard all these. Common ways gaslighting is done, and do you remember any of these? Withholding. The abusive partner pretends not to understand or refuses to listen. I don't want to hear this again. You're trying to confuse me. Countering. The abusive partner questions the victim's memory of events, even when the victim remembers them accurately. yeah, you're wrong and you never remembered things correctly. Blocking and diverting, you abuse a partner, changes the subject and questions the victim's thoughts. Is that another crazy idea you got from a friend, or are you imagining things? Trivializing, the abusive partner makes the victim's needs or feelings unimportant. You're going to get angry over a little thing like that. You're so sensitive. Forgetting denial. The abusive partner pretends to have forgotten or what occurred or denies things like promises made to the victim. I don't know what you're talking about, and you're just making stuff up. Of course, this leaves the victim confused and blames themselves and leaves you feeling crazy as you question your own reality. What you can do about this? Review things that happened with different lenses. Can you identify any of these patterns? Often journaling about events that happen will trigger the clear memory of truth. I always kept a diary during my time with Andrew. In all the years that we were on and off, I always kept a diary. Now, anyway, keeping a diary is a good idea. Now, keep records of things they say that confuse you. You might come back as you remember things, and the journal will be your lifeline to sanity. Talk to a therapist or coach to get validated as what is going on so you can learn that you are not crazy. We heal faster if we drop the concern that we are losing our mind. Or you could leave. It sucks because there's no... Do you know why it's hard for women to leave? Because if you're in an apartment and you're paying half, a woman hardly ever has the money to have an apartment on her own. First, last security deposit, plus there's no real women's shelters that help. Well, when it comes to women leaving the abusive partner, it's very difficult. You have the benefit of the doubt for so long. Now, degrade and humiliate you after you have discovered the abuse. You see what's going on, they decide to discard, they degrade, they humiliate you, they talk bad about you behind your back, all while still telling you, well, you're toxic, while acting toxic. You know, it's crazy. Now, in the discard phase, we're in the discard phase now. This is where the cheating, the never apologizing, the hovering, the smear campaigns, the stalking, what are flying monkeys, you feel like you might be in danger, no contact in the grand finale. So, narcissists cheat, commit adultery, and have extramarital affairs. They do so for a number of reasons. Firstly, they're easily bored. In addition, because of their sense of entitlement and being above the law, they tend to engage in behavior that is socially unacceptable. They view marriage and monogamy as average and mundane, and with their sense of superiority, they feel the rules do not apply to them. In addition, narcissists are afraid of intimacy, and cheating is a good tool to avoid the real intimacy and vulnerability that comes with longer-term committed relationships. If you suspect that your narcissist is cheating, they probably are. Be very careful when confronting a cheating narcissist, as they do not like being confronted and may lash out at you. Your safety is very important in this situation. A common tactic that they use when confronted is to project what they are doing back onto you. This gaslighting technique takes the spotlight off their actions and pulls the conversation to the victim having to defend him or herself. In most cases, even when you confront your narcissist with accusations of cheating, it will be denied or you will be made to feel like the crazy one. This is the first chapter in the You Are the Crazy One book the narcissist will fall back on and use against you later. It's almost like you are not allowed to speak up about your concerns and that it in itself is abuse. Setting a boundary of no cheating. I've done this one before. Define the boundary. Thou shalt not cheat. Develop consequences if they cheat. Leave them. Share the boundary and the consequences with your partner. Be prepared to enforce the consequences because if you don't, the narcissist will do it again. They quickly learn that your words say no cheating, but your actions are do nothing. Think of this as a way that you are giving them permission to cheat if you are not strong and enforce a punishment. Narcissists cheat because it's a game to them, and by getting away with it after being caught, they continue to cheat and lie, even when confronted. Common signs. They become more critical of you or they are more attentive to your needs than usual, picking fights more often, stonewalling, communication tapers off, charging a credit card statement that don't make sense. You find your partner has been lying to you. Money suddenly becomes more of an issue between the two of you. The words, I love you, are not spoken by yourself any longer. He or she doesn't want to go anywhere or do anything with you anymore. You may begin buying you guilt gifts. Behavior is causing a gut feeling in you that something isn't right. Frequently pick fights with you yet again. Changes in routine, new expressions, hiding their phone, changing passwords, blocking you out, text messages late at night. Suddenly changing exercise habits or dressing better. Finding a credit card you didn't know about. New special friends on social media that seem to like everything they post. And they also comment on everything they post. Darkness, blackout of time, where were they? If they're coming to you going, I've lost hours of time and I don't know where I've been, that's a red flag. Never apologize, man. Narcissists are never wrong. They're never accountable and they never apologize. In their minds, they've done nothing, not them. Why would they ever apologize? It's the red flag that's often seen early in the relationship and continues until the day you go to the no contact rule. Why did we not notice it? Simply because you probably did notice, but it became a joke. They sometimes make light of the thing they should be apologizing for. If you're lucky, they turn it around and word salad you into feeling guilty. Or they gaslight you into saying you did whatever they should be apologizing for. But they cannot and will not take accountability for anything because it's always someone else's fault. Then they just don't need to apologize. Respecting time. If someone is late to an event or even coming home, that person apologizes. However, even though it's disrespectful when a narcissist is late, they tell you this is just who they are. They say that you need to put much less pressure on them. They make you out to be the bad guy. Cheating, they cheat and somehow it becomes your fault. You didn't show them enough passion or you drove them into the arms of someone else. Taking your money and assets. Normal people would feel guilty about doing these types of things, but they never take responsibility or apologize. So remember the no empathy part. They don't care if they financially ruin you. That's what's theirs and theirs, and what's yours is theirs too. Parents that hurt. When you grow up with a parent who is a narcissist, you become accustomed to never hearing apologies. Then when you get hooked again and marry one, the person never apologizes either. You're used to it and have a low bar for demanding an apology. Parents that abuse not only avoid apologies, but they make the child feel like they have no right to ask for one. So that's all that we have for this section. We will talk about this again tomorrow when I get home. I will do my for the week on Sunday morning before I go to work. But that is the tea for now, and I think this is all important stuff. So that's the tea, guys. I'll be back.